My name is Morris Venegas, and I build spacesuits, and I do neuroscience. And if you're ever in the San Bernardino Mountains, and you want to build with me, make things with me, and be in nature with me, let me know. Hit me up so that we can make stuff together and build communities together up in the mountains.
This is a continuing episode of a series about a spacesuit for SpaceX with Morris Venegas.
So what was it like having a 15-minute conversation with Elon? Was it like nerve-wracking at first? Did you prepare? Did you over-prepare?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. I think it's, you know, when you have all these people that have done like really great things, right? Like, you know, in the past, and just creating a space company, right, is just a big concept. Of course, you get nervous and you want to ask about other things, but you don't have a huge time window. So you're like, let's focus on the project at hand. And what are you learning? I think you just need to remember that it's just a great experience. Not everyone gets to do that. I'm sure other people have too, but at least for me and my world and my journey of life, like that was a great, cool stamp that I got to do. I learned like super early on, one thing that I did like about him and SpaceX in general was that they worked from like core fundamentals. Like there was like, using answers like, because that's how it's been done was like a no-no, right? It's more of like, well, why do I need a spacesuit? So we even had to like, I had to teach people like, how does a spacesuit work from the fundamentals? Not like, this is the existing suit and it has this cable because that's what it has. It's like, what is the point of that cable? Why does it have to be light? Why do we even need a cable? And all that kind of stuff. So I had to do a talk actually to describe what spacesuits are. And I think what people really, really grasped to it was, it's just, it's like two layers, right? I think people here would enjoy this. Is that you can imagine a plastic bag that you fill up with air, but then it looks like a balloon, right? And you're like, great, it can hold air. That's perfect. It holds pressure. I need that aspect, but it can easily be popped. You're like, that's not good. So you take that inflated trash bag and you put it like inside a backpack, right? So now the backpack is called the restraint layer, right? And the bag is called the bladder layer is what we call it. And so the backpack keeps, you know, you from like being so fragile, and it provides some other control. And then the inside controls the air. So you have this trash bag inside of a backpack. Now imagine that backpack had like a leg for like a little tube for your leg and a little tube for your arm. And suddenly you're like, oh, that's what a spacesuit is. Like, great. You have this breathable portion that holds space. And then you have this restraint part that like really holds in. That's really all you need, right? And then you get into questions of, now, how will they talk to us? And like, oh, maybe we need some comms. Like, can they see outside? Should they see outside? Like, they're safe, but they can't move. So like, how do we create seams so that they move across? Like, how do we keep this easier? What's the temperature? All those are just details. But the big part is like, keep air and then keep it from popping. Right? So it's straightforward. So I think those type of conversations was really cool. And Elon really resonated. Like, just what are the fundamentals, right? And you hear him talk about it when he's talking about batteries or something like that. He's like, we don't need batteries. He's like, what are batteries made out of? Like, can we source that and then figure out how to do it again? And so if you get back to like the principles of things, SpaceX was really, really good at that. Like even with their propulsion, with everything. So you were almost encouraged to build that habit of like questioning almost anything because it was probably right for the time. But now there's differences that we can leverage. That's really cool.
Were you guys mostly responsible for the design, or were you also creating, manufacturing the product as well?
Oh, the whole thing, everything. Yeah. There's like the design aspect, right? Getting these requirements, almost negotiating requirements sometimes, because you're like, that's going to be too hard or too expensive. Then there's the actual design, and then there's a lot of prototyping. We had access to a machine shop, and we got to pick our team. So like, we can talk about the team makeup as well. And then manufacturing and testing it. And then finally, there's like support. Like the first time it launched was in 2020. And now I think we've launched like 50 times now, something like that. Like 50 people have used the suits. And so then the maintenance of that, right? How do you keep up with that? So it's the full scope of a product.
Okay. How many years did it take to go from a drawing board to somebody wearing the suit?
Yeah. So somebody wearing the suit,
maybe in a spacecraft, somebody's going to use it for, for Sirius.
Yeah. No. So there was a heavy, which was, I was involved in like, prototyping phase, which is like really heavy at the beginning. And that was about a little over 2 years, just like initial conception requirements, figuring it out, building a prototype that would work and testing it, but that wasn't flight ready. And then there was like 5 years of just like heavy, heavy integrated testing. So it's just like people's lives are at stake. So, you know, you want to do as much as possible, pressure test it. There's even a benefit to having a suit sit for 5 years and then using it and being like, is that actually functional?
Mm.
But also the alignment of different things, right? Like whether we can go on the ISS is like, you don't go every day. Like you can go at different times. Then it was launched in 2020. So from like 2012 or so to 2020, so 8 years, a lot of the, there was downtimes during those 8 years. So it wasn't active 8 years, but you can think like 3 or 4 years or so, which sounds like a long time, but for sending something to space, it's like a pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah,
right? Compared to what we're used to seeing in the space industry.
Right. Right. And that's pretty critical to where, I mean, you want it to go well. So, like, did your team wear the suits for a day or probably wore many times today? Just like shut yourself up in a suit so you could sort of suffer your product for a while and see if you were, you felt like it was a workable design or comfortable design.
Yeah. I used it as a Halloween costume. Yeah. So it's really cool. I think it goes a little bit to the team makeup. So it was like me and the title was just like that spacesuit, like designer. We had a former astronaut, his name was Garrett Riesman. So he had been to space, he had used these suits. So he's almost just like a great customer of someone that can say like, this doesn't work or this. So he had that immediate feedback. So he was sitting next to me. We had someone from mission operations. They were just talking about like, how does it integrate? Can we use this? Like you can build a really cool thing, but it doesn't work with the rest of the system. Like literally the entire architecture, it's not helpful. There was Andy, who was a seat engineer. Like he used to design seats for like F1 formula racing cars. And so the inside of the capsule had a seat. And so the suit has to like integrate, right? That's where all these things come in and you need to provide all the support. So he was on the team. We hired a seamstress from Hollywood. So she was really good at just like making it. We said like, it needs to look like this. And 3 hours later, like you had a boot that was literally seamed, like made, and you're like, fascinating, right? So we can test it and be like, that didn't work. So literally in a week, we had like 3 or 4 different designs that we would test or throw out just because somebody was there to do it. And then the badass thing to address that, we hired Jose Fernandez. He's like a costume designer. I think he worked on like the Star Trek movie, like early 2010s, something like that. So he, you know, we had to like rope him in sometimes, right? Like he would create this cool thing. And then we're saying like, remember tuxedos, hair, like this is what we want. And so, of course, like once you figure out like that's what badass means, like I think I have great fashion sense, but not enough to build a spacesuit. So you're like, let's get some kind of like costume designer, right? Who knows about all these things. That person came in and just did all these different things. And then we almost kind of like reverse engineer it, say like, how do we make that work? Like, is that a functional thing? Are there materials that, yeah, they use for movies, right? Or films, but they might not work in space because they're not like flame retardant or anything. So it was that give and take. So this team was like super broad, like very weird combination of people, but it did allow us to do all that really quick iterations, right? Like ensure we got who we're talking to. Like we built a suit immediately, like in a week, we can like sew everything together with the seamstress. We can test if it was with the seats. The astronaut would get inside of it because he was a former astronaut and be like, this doesn't work, or this is fogging up, or I didn't like this. And then we take it off. And then mission ops is like, this takes too long to don. Like you got to get ready in less than 20 minutes kind of thing. So, you know, we go back and forth, but we all had that expertise. So that like, you know, that team had everything it needed, which is fantastic. And I don't think that's normal. So we were our own little like project within like a bigger thing. So I had my desk where we were like working, and then literally on the other side of the floor was a machine shop and then the soft goods area. So you're kind of just working back and forth. Once you have that, like we all knew we were going to be successful, like how or when or how much it'll cost. Like those are the self-imposed restrictions, right? Like we say we want it to cost this much, like, but can we build a spacesuit that'll make people survive up there? Like, yeah, we had everything we needed, so the confidence was there in the team.
It's the 22nd century, and although there's no faster-than-light drive, governments and religious organizations fund voyages by giant ships that spend multiple generations in voyage to Earth-like exoplanets. Young Arcady feels blessed to be born aboard the ship when he did, because the ship will soon reach its destination, and it will happen during his lifetime. But he's heartbroken that instead of being trained as a pilot, he is stuck training to be a farmer, because those skills are more important for creating their civilization and completing the abandonment of Earth and the troubles they left behind. But once their ship makes planetfall, the strife left behind a millennia ago resurfaces, starting with the murder of his sister. After the mysterious disappearance of other generation ships, Arcady, now an officer of the Space Force, suspects that someone close to him is killing his people. This murder investigation space opera is a novelette by Lancer Kind, and it's called Memories Victims. It is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble's Nook. Check out the show notes. We've got goodies in there about SpaceX, spacesuits, and other matters that we decided would be good matches for your listening pleasure. What are show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player if you use such an app. Otherwise, go back to the webpage where you downloaded this MP3, and that webpage will have show notes within. The series started at episode 292. You can find that episode by going to scifithoughts.space and type into the search engine the episode number that you missed. Next episode, more Morris Venegas.
So yes, you tested. It has every component. Like, it's just in space. Like, there's just so much. I feel like so much effort goes into testing, right? Because, like, you can't. It's such a, I wouldn't say it's like a risk-averse industry, but just there's so much risk involved that you have to de-risk so much. And testing is just a great way to do that. So we had, like, individual components. Even when we made a boot, we would, like, seam it up and then inflate it and be like, is it keeping it? And try to stab it with different things, right? You literally are just like flame retardant, like put it in front of a flame. So we literally had all these things. There was a part in the back lot, like a garage, that was a closed off room, you know, just like cinder blocks. And I remember once we finally had like a full suit, we were like, we have to pressure test, like literally pressure, like inflate it with pressure. But like, can it keep that pressure for so long? And then based off of the materials and the math, you can assume when it'll like break, right? Like what a breaking point was. We say, let's take it to there. Like we need to confirm empirically. And I don't know why in my mind, I thought like once we inflate it and then we just keep inflating it, it was just going to like explode.
Yeah, right.